Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, November 20th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks fall as the tech sell-off deepens with FANG shares entering bear territory.
Shares of Nissan and Mitsubishi tumble following the arrest of Carlos Ghosn.
Credit markets head for their worst year since the global financial crisis.
A shooting at a Chicago hospital left four people dead, including a doctor and a police officer. Plus, the wildfire death toll continues to rise in Northern California. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The third highest scoring game in NFL history. Rams 54, Chiefs 51. Rangers won, so did St. John's. The Yankees acquired pitcher James Paxton from Seattle.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and the top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit ibkr.com/whyib to learn more.
And stocks are falling around the world as concerns over trade and technology deepen. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 19 points this morning. Dow futures down 160. NASDAQ futures down 80. The DAX in Germany is down about 1%. CAC in Paris down 0.9%. FTSE 100 down 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 1.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 2%. 10-year Treasury up 430 seconds, yield 3.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.78%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.33%, or 21 cents, to $56.99 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1%, on $1.80 to $12.23.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1427, the yen, 112.46. And this update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Nathan.
Karen, the sell-off in U.S. tech shares spilled into Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell by almost 1%, the Nikkei 225 closing lower by over 1% in Tokyo. The CSI 300 in China was down over 2%, worries about a slowdown there persisting, while a drop in Tencent weighed on Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index, which breached a key technical support level. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Shares of Nissan and Mitsubishi led declines in Japan following the arrest of Carlos Ghosn, and details are now emerging about the chairman's alleged financial transgressions. Bloomberg's Dave McCombs reports from Tokyo.
The problem with Ghosn involved some housing that was being provided by the company. Apparently, there were as many as four homes that were seen as part of his compensation and that were undeclared. That is not something we've been able to confirm as of yet, but that's what the state broadcaster has been reporting. Ghosn is still under arrest. He's still being questioned in this case and still being held. Under Japanese law, he could be held for up to 23 days.
Shares of Nissan fell 5.5% in Tokyo, while Mitsubishi Motors finished the day down nearly 7%.
And adding to bearish sentiment in Asia were the Trump administration's considering tighter curbs on technology exports, a step that Deutsche Bank says would have a profound adverse impact on relations between the U.S. and China. A request for public comment has been published on the Federal Register. It asks if a list of new technologies with national security applications should be subject to more stringent export rules. Tighter curbs on tech exports would affect both U.S. manufacturers and purchasers in China.
Here in the U.S., software developers and semiconductor manufacturers drove the S&P 500 down 1.6% yesterday, bringing the S&P's return for the year to just about 0.5%. And equity returns could stay low for a long time, according to Bridgewater Associates Chairman Ray Dalio.
You have to prepare for lower expected returns in the future. Because if you take all these obligations, I'm talking to some extent about the debt obligations, unfunded pension obligations, there are also health care obligations. There's a lot of obligations.
Dalio likens today's debt cycle to that of the late 1930s, a time of rising populism and growing disparity between the rich and poor. When the next economic downturn arrives, he says, European assets will suffer the most.
The New York Stock Exchange FANG Index entered a bear market yesterday, closing down 22% from its June high. Apple is also set to enter bear territory at the opening bell, with shares falling in early trading. Other names tumbling in the pre-market include Facebook, Square, NVIDIA, Netflix, Microsoft, AMD, Micron Technology, and Amazon, all down anywhere from 1 to 4%.
Cryptocurrencies are continuing their dramatic slide. Bitcoin's down 8% this morning on top of yesterday's 12% decline. We get more from Bloomberg's Remy Innocencio.
The fear is twofold here. One is the jaws of enforcement clamping down right now on these ICOs. In addition to that, there's also the fear that there might be more regulations that the SEC and the U.S. government might actually come out with. And Bloomberg Intelligence is saying that in terms of analysts it's been speaking with, it could fall to $1,500 here.
And checking Bitcoin now, again down more than 8% at $4,384.
And meanwhile, credit markets are set for their worst year since the global financial crisis as investors abandon hope of a late-year rally. Bloomberg's John Tucker's here live with details. Good morning, John.
Well, Nathan, investors in credit have been unnerved by higher U.S. borrowing costs and the looming end of the European Central Bank's stimulus measures. Rather than chasing yield, they're now just trying to avoid losses. High-grade fund managers are paying attention to individual companies' financial health rather than the riskier notes that helped boost returns last year. High yield and investment grade notes are headed for losses in both euros and dollars, the first time all four asset classes have posted negative total returns since 2008. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. In the UK, the plot to topple Prime Minister Theresa May is faltering, with Conservative lawmakers so far failing to garner support for a no-confidence vote. Still, opposition Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn isn't giving up.
We will keep our options open. Our pressure now is on the government not to accept the deal that Theresa May has brought back. We will vote against it in Parliament if it comes up in its current form.
Speaking exclusively to Bloomberg, Corbyn said he's open to the idea of a second referendum on Brexit. Meanwhile, in remarks to UK lawmakers this morning, Bank of England Governor Mark Carney gave his seal of approval to Theresa May's transition deal, and May heads to Brussels tomorrow to continue talks with EU negotiators. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street now. Michael Barr's here to tell us what else is going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Police say an argument outside a Chicago hospital turned deadly when a man pulled out a gun and killed an emergency room doctor with whom he was having a domestic relationship. Authorities say he then ran into the hospital and fatally shot a pharmacy resident and a police officer. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
We have members of the Chicago family who in both this holiday and other milestones in their family will not be there.
The attacker also died. Authorities in Northern California say two more sets of human remains were found in the rubble and ashes from a devastating wildfire. That brings the death toll to 79, with about 700 unaccounted for. Meanwhile, this is also one of the costliest wildfires ever, beyond deaths. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
The loss of life, of course, is the most damaging in these tragedies, but survivors are going to want to rebuild and try to get back their lives. Risk modeler RMS is now saying that the estimates are between $9 and $13 billion to insurance companies. This includes damage to property and cars, as well as business interruption. This is the second fire season in a row where the cost could be over $10 billion in the state. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A spokesman for Ivanka Trump's lawyer says the president's daughter used a private email account while transitioning into government. The spokesman says Ivanka Trump, whose White House staff title is assistant to the president, used the private email almost always for logistics and scheduling concerning her family. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams says there are serious problems with voting in Georgia that need to be addressed.
We had 4.5 hour lines because of the disinvestment in machinery. We had machines that were flipping names because of the antiquated nature of our machines. We had people who were purged from the rolls unlawfully, including a 92-year-old woman who'd voted in the same community since 1968 because she was a civil rights leader.
Republican Brian Kemp's win was certified by Georgia elections officials Saturday. A federal judge has temporarily barred the Trump administration from refusing asylum to immigrants who cross the southern border illegally. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Monday Night Football felt more like a Saturday Big 12 conference game when it was over in L.A., a game that until last week was supposed to be played in Mexico City. Rams 54, Chiefs 51, third highest scoring game in NFL history. KC, the first team ever to score 50 and lose. 1,000 yards of offense. The quarterbacks Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes combined for 10 touchdown passes. Mahomes had 6, but he also had 5 turnovers, and it was Goff's 40-yarder to Gerald Everett with under 2 minutes to play that turned out to be the game winner.
Yeah, it was a crazy game. And it seemed like at the end, whoever had the ball last was going to win. That's what it felt like. And ultimately, our defense had 2 turnovers there at the end that proved to be the winning turnovers. And it was back and forth the whole game. It was you know, times where we felt like we had all the momentum. We thought we were going to put the knife in them and finish it. And then there was times where, you know, it was the other way around. We're like, all right, we need to kind of claw back into this. And it was fun.
So the Rams are 10-1 and the Chiefs are 9-2. And it's certainly possible they'll be playing each other again in 10 weeks in the Super Bowl. The Yankees perhaps sacrificed the future with an eye on the present. They traded 3 minor leaguers to Seattle, including 22-year-old lefty Justice Sheffield, considered their top pitching prospect. They got back a guy that can be in a mainstay in the rotation right now, 30-year-old Canadian James Paxton. He won 11 games for the Mariners this past season, including a no-hitter. At the Garden, Rangers made it into the last 10. They got by Dallas 2-1 at Barclays. St. John's now 4-0, 82-79 over California. In Vegas, Iona lost by a point to Long Beach State, and Rutgers last night blew out Eastern Michigan, a game that was 31-4 at halftime. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. The trade dispute between the U.S. and China apparently is not scaring off the Ultimate Fighting Championship. UFC plans to invest $13 million in a new training facility in Shanghai, part of its push to develop mixed martial arts in the world's most populous country. Right now, UFC has 10 Chinese fighters under contract, hopes to raise that number to 75. This is Daybreak. Brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Stocks are falling around the world after yesterday's sell-off on Wall Street. NASDAQ futures point to deeper losses, with Apple poised to enter a bear market. Goldman Sachs is recommending investors boost their cash as rate hikes from the Fed send yields on money market funds over 2%. As for stocks, Goldman says investors should tilt portfolios toward defensive sectors. Credit markets are set for their worst year in a decade. High yield and investment grade notes are headed for losses in both euros and dollars for the first time since 2008. And for a cheaper Thanksgiving feast, try German discount groceries. Bloomberg Intelligence says the average cost of a dinner is down about 1.5% from last year, with Aldi and Lidl offering the best savings. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. And Lowe's reported a third quarter profit that beat analyst estimates, while its third quarter comp sales missed, and it also said it plans to exit its retail operations in Mexico. Futures this morning, lower. S&P futures down 19 points, Dow futures down 149, NASDAQ futures down 78. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.05%, yield on the 2-year 2.79%, and NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 13 cents to $57.34 a barrel, while COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.60 to $12.2370 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Chicago police say a gunman shot 3 people at a hospital before dying in a gunfight with police. The victims included a doctor and a police officer. Authorities say the gunman had a relationship with the doctor who was killed. Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter and advisor, sent hundreds of emails about government business from a personal email account last year. The Washington Post reported the emails were sent to White House aides, cabinet officials, and her assistants. Her lawyer did not deny the report. In the NHL, the Rangers won along with the Capitals. Monday Night Football, oh my, the Rams beat the Chiefs 54-51. In the NBA, the Celtics lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Or is it? Retailers reporting earnings today include Kohl's, TJX, Target, Gap, Foot Locker, Best Buy. How's retail doing as we head into Black Friday? Let's put the question to Poonam Goyal, Senior Analyst, U.S. Retailing with Bloomberg Intelligence. We saw from Walmart's margins that they were squeezed. Are we going to see the same thing this time? And I suppose it's because of the online delivery costs.
Yeah, I think, you know, the margin story remains intact, where retailers do have margin pressure as online continues to increase. Sales, they're growing double digits. So I think the margin pressure in retail is still there. That said, depending on the retailer that you're looking at, lower markdowns from lean inventory can help somewhat offset that.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the individual stories. What are you looking at, and what are their stories? Maybe you'll start with Kohl's.
Sure. So Kohl's is expected out soon, and I think they're going to have a good quarter. We heard from the other retailers that the cold weather in late 3Q helped. Back to school was strong. So we expect good results out of Kohl's. They're expected to report 96 cents, and we expect them to do just that or better. We also expect them to be optimistic heading into the fourth quarter, as the cold snap obviously helps apparel sales, you know, cold weather boots, sweaters, coats. But it all does well when the weather is cooler, and it is. So we do expect them to be optimistic for the holidays. They do have tougher comparisons from last year. If you recall, last year's holiday was very strong for retail. That said, with high consumer confidence, low unemployment, and a cold weather snap, we think they can battle last year's tougher comparisons.
You mentioned the cold weather. When they sell winter stuff, are the margins better on that stuff?
The margins are better when you sell it at a lower markdown or a full price. So if you saw cold weather snap in October, which we did, that means that you're selling more goods at a higher margin because you're selling it earlier in the season, so therefore you're not taking the markdowns.
What's everybody buying? It sounds like you're saying clothing.
People are buying clothing. We've ran multiple surveys, and we've seen Kantar's survey results, and it shows that clothing is the second largest category for holiday purchases. So people are interested in shopping for apparel, and the change of season always helps.
Okay. Now, just how promotional are they going to get?
It'll be promotional. I mean, just sticking to Kohl's, you know, they are offering deals again this year. They begin as early as Thursday, just like for everyone else. And you're going to see them be more promotional as a comparison. Last year, Nest, for example, the digital gauge to monitor your temperature in your home was $199 with Kohl's cash, and this year it's $179 with Kohl's cash on top. So really great deals on electronics, good deals on pajamas, apparel, sweaters, across the board, across retail, really.
Is it still a question of discount versus full price?
For Black Friday, yes. You know, that those 2 days, the Thursday, Friday, are very promotional across retail. So discounts are really what drive the sales in. But going forward beyond that, it's really about the lean inventory, which is going to help them prevent massive markdowns and really keep margins, at least merchandise margins, intact for the holidays.
Do you get the sense that consumers are going to wait beyond Black Friday into Monday or even farther?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, consumers shop over Black Friday, but the bulk of shopping is still done after Cyber Monday through Christmas. So we do expect, you know, the 10 days leading to Christmas has been set to be 40% of holiday sales. So okay. The bulk of shopping is still to be done.
All right. Year-over-year comparisons to overall consumer spending for the holiday season. What is it looking like?
The comparisons are tougher, but consumers are optimistic. All year, we've seen the consumer strengthening, and that's really boded well for spending. So we think they have a good setup into holiday.
Okay. Poonam, thanks a lot. Good to talk to you. As always, Poonam Goyal, Senior Analyst with U.S. Retailing, Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market government factors that impact business. Terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now are down 20 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer today for exceptional offers on select models during the Season of Audi sales event. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The Wall Street sell-off is spreading overseas. In Asia, Japan's Nikkei dropped 1.1%, while stocks in China and Hong Kong fell more than 2%. Declines in tech and bank shares are pushing down Europe's Stock 600 by 0.2%. Dow futures are lower by more than 180 points.
The arrest of Carlos Ghosn is weighing on Nissan and Mitsubishi's stock. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from Singapore.
Shares in Nissan closed down 5.5% lower to 950 yen, their lowest close since August 2016 and biggest one-day drop in 2 years. Mitsubishi Motors fell by almost 7% as investors worried about the fate of the Nissan-Mitsubishi-Renault alliance. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Shares of Deutsche Bank are trading at a record low. A whistleblower implicated the bank in the widening money laundering scandal surrounding Danske Bank.
In deal news, Boston Scientific's agreed to buy London-based rival BTG for $4.2 billion. The acquisition will expand Boston Scientific's offering of medical devices to treat cancer and other disorders.
This morning, the government will issue data on housing starts and building permits. Economists say October starts probably recovered some of the prior month's loss, but they see building permits declining. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
Rising mortgage rates have been taking a toll on the housing market as the Fed continues to tighten monetary policy to guard against inflation. Builder confidence is down and home sales have been all over the chart. Bloomberg Economics says today's report could reflect hurricane recovery efforts, which could offset some of the broader weakness temporarily. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. Big day for retail earnings today with Target, Best Buy, Kohl's, and The Gap all reporting.
And Target earnings are just crossing the Bloomberg third quarter profit, just missing analyst estimates, while comp sales coming in up 5.1%. Analysts were looking for comp sales to increase to 5.2%, so that just missing as well. And the Bitcoin sell-off continues this morning. The digital currency is down another 8% and trading under $4,400. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures are down about 21 points. Dow futures down 170. NASDAQ futures down 86. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.78%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 11 cents to $57.32 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down about 0.1% on $1.10 to $12.2420 an ounce. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 now on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr. Find out what else is going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Four people are dead, including a doctor and a police officer, after a gunman opened fire at Chicago's Mercy Hospital yesterday. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
This tears at the soul of our city. It is the face and the consequence of evil.
Police say the doctor who was killed and the gunman had a domestic relationship. Authorities say a pharmacy resident was also killed by the gunman who also died. The death toll in Northern California's wildfire is now at 79.
Two more sets of remains were found yesterday. Meanwhile, the sheriff in Butte County says there are 300 fewer people on the list of missing residents than previously thought. Around 700 people are still unaccounted for. Dan Newman with Butte County Search and Rescue says this is the largest search operation in California's history.
We have over 500 search and rescue volunteers from all over California, and that's just unprecedented.
Rain is in the forecast for later this week. President Trump has dropped his legal fight to keep reporter Jim Acosta out of the White House. As Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports, now all reporters are on the hook for so-called standard practices.
The next time the president says, that's enough.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. Mr. President.
That's enough.
The White House wants reporters to know he means it. While the press office says the CNN correspondent's credential is fully restored, it's warning Acosta and other reporters must follow a series of rules at future news conferences, including limiting themselves to a single question with follow-ups only at the discretion of the president or others speaking to the press. It added that yielding the floor includes physically surrendering the microphone to White House staff. Failure to abide by the rules may result in suspension or revocation of the journalist's pass. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The White House is set to announce today that U.S. troops will be allowed to defend Border Patrol agents. The new authorization will allow active duty troops on the border to protect customs and border personnel when they are under threat. Meanwhile, the Pentagon is said to begin a drawdown of its 5,800 troops from the southwest border as early as this week. The political report cited Army Lieutenant General Jeffrey Buchanan. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:35 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshower.
Nathan, the Rams and Chiefs certainly lived up to the hype. Both came in 9-1. They played in L.A. because the field in Mexico City was unplayable. There were 14 touchdowns scored, 10 TD passes, 3 defensive TDs, only 6 punts, 7 turnovers, 5 by Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes. That and KC's 13 penalties for 135 yards. Biggest reasons why the Rams pulled it out. In the third highest scoring game ever, 54-51, there were 1,000 yards of offense. Jared Goff passed for 413 yards, threw for 4 TDs, had the only rushing touchdown of the game. Mahomes, 478 yards, 6 TDs. He's got 37 on the year, but Mahomes intercepted 3 times, twice in the last 2 minutes. He also fumbled twice, and the Rams ran a pick and a fumble back for scores. Will they meet again in the Super Bowl? Rams coach Sean McVay.
You know, I think for us, we got a long way to go. There's a lot of good football teams in this league. We're not even in the postseason yet, so we got to do a good job kind of just focusing on what we can control, and that's enjoying the bye and then coming back ready to go. But that's a great football team that we played tonight. We have a lot of respect for them, and I know Coach Reed will continue to do an excellent job leading them, and some of their players, man, they're unbelievable. So a lot of respect for them.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, 10 catches, 215 yards in the loss. The Jets back from the bye, unsure if quarterback Sam Darnold will return from his foot injury and play Sunday against New England. The Yankees acquired 30-year-old lefty James Paxton from Seattle for 3 minor leaguers, including top pitching prospect Justin Sheffield. Rangers made it 8 of the last 10, 2-1 over Dallas. College basketball wins for St. John's and Rutgers. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshaw. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks very much. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
A new report warns that the U.S. could struggle to win or might even lose a war against China or Russia because America's military has failed to keep pace with changing security challenges. Why? One reason is that military planners have to deal with a budget that shifts from one year to the next. Such unpredictability wastes money and makes intelligent long-term planning almost impossible. To fix the problem, Congress should guarantee the Pentagon a consistent annual raise of, say, 3% or so above inflation for 5 to 10 years. The midterm election may provide an opening, because a divided Congress can enable bipartisan compromise. A long-term bargain would restore sanity to military spending and improve the Pentagon's ability to plan for the nation's long-term security. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 on Wall Street. Want to update you on Target. It just reported third quarter earnings that missed analyst estimates. Right now, the stock is down 9% in early trading. It had fallen as far as 11% lower in the pre-market. We'll keep you updated throughout the morning. Also reporting earnings today, Best Buy. Here with a preview of that, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Analysts at Bloomberg Intelligence say Best Buy will likely meet third quarter same-store sales expectations by focusing on services including in-home advisor and total tech support and success during back-to-school. Investors will also be listening for an update on Best Buy's Amazon partnership for the Fire TV edition and how the program will expand over the holidays. Five analysts say Best Buy is a buy, 16 say it's a hold, 4 say it's a sell. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. 6:39 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Lawmakers have pressed to strengthen consumer.
Actually, the Small Business Report with John Tucker.
Lawmakers have pressed to strengthen consumer and business protections following a high-profile Equifax data breach back in 2017. And now, under a bill introduced in Congress, Equifax, Experian, and other credit bureaus would be required to tell small businesses within 30 days if their non-public personal data was breached. That 2017 hack prompted Congress to amend the Fair Credit Reporting Act, but the definition of consumers under that law excludes business credit. So while small businesses' non-public information was subject to the breach, the changes did not apply to small businesses that use credit. Credit reporting firms would also be prohibited from charging small businesses for a credit report within 180 days of the breach. The bill would not preempt state laws regarding consumer reporting. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
All right, John, thanks very much. S&P futures down 16 points right now. Dow futures down by 133. NASDAQ futures down by 70 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. We are watching Target shares this morning down as more than 7% after third quarter comp sales missed analyst estimates. They did drop as much as 11% after those earnings were reported. Futures are also moving lower. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are under pressure amid weakness in global equities. Dow futures down 117 points, S&P's dropped 14, and NASDAQ futures declined by 59. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.05%. Oil is trading higher. And Asia markets fell overnight with 2% losses in Hong Kong and Shanghai, while European markets are also under pressure, led by losses in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, housing starts and building permits. And after the bell last night, Pure Storage beat estimates. Regarding earnings this morning, Lowe's EPS beat estimates. Comp sales missed. Like you said, Target EPS missed estimates. Shares are down 9% in the pre-market. Medtronic beat estimates. And look for Kohl's to report around 7 a.m. In deal news, Boston Scientific is buying rival BTG for $4.2 billion. And in other news, Boeing was defended over at Cowen and Bernstein. Wrapping things up, Checkpoint Software was upgraded to outperform over at Raymond James. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And a little more on Target. It fell in early trading, as we said, after posting quarterly sales and margins that disappointed Wall Street. It's adding pressure on the cheap, chic retailer as it heads into the critical holiday season. Comparable sales, the most watched barometer of a retailer's performance, rose 5.1% in the third quarter. That was just shy of analysts' 5.2% estimate. The company said it expects that measure to be about 5% in the final quarter, signaling another slight slowdown ahead. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a Northern California sheriff says two more sets of human remains were found yesterday, bringing the total number killed in the devastating Camp Fire to 79. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey says the list of names of those unaccounted for has dropped to around 700. A federal judge has temporarily barred the Trump administration from refusing asylum to immigrants who crossed the southern border illegally. Legal groups sued hours after President Trump's proclamation was issued, arguing U.S. law clearly allows someone to seek asylum regardless of how they enter the country. Monday Night Football, the game of the season, lived up to its billing. The Rams beat the Chiefs 54-51. In the NHL, the Rangers won along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Celtics lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal.
Oh, yeah.
The Rolling Stones is still rolling.
Stones are
the world's longest-running major touring act, and they have announced 13 U.S. dates next year, including Miami and Chicago. And listen to the ages. Mick Jagger is 75.
I knew you were going there.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Guitarist Keith Richards is 74. Drummer Charlie Watts is 77.
77.
And Nathan Ronnie Wood is the baby of the bunch at 71.
All septuagenarians. That's your word for the day. Well played, not playing Mother's Little Helper into that segment, Michael Barr. What a drag it is getting old. Apparently, it is not.
No, you are so right, sir. I wish I could play any instrument. Anyhow. You know. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Mexican Ambassador to the United States Geronimo Gutierrez discussing U.S.-Mexican relations this morning at the Brookings Institution. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo meets with his Turkish counterpart today, as the CIA is expected to release its report on the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. And President Trump pardons the Thanksgiving turkey, the annual tradition expected at the White House this afternoon before the president and first lady head to Mar-a-Lago for the long holiday weekend. Also making news this morning, a potential new salvo in the trade dispute between the U.S. and China. No sign of pardons there. For more, Bloomberg Chief Washington correspondent Kevin Cirilli is with me. Kevin, breaking news this morning that the administration is apparently considering tougher export rules for new technology. What have you heard?
Yeah, that's really interesting, particularly as it relates to intellectual property, Nathan. Look, there's nonpartisan consensus on Capitol Hill. Republicans, Democrats, virtually every lawmaker I talk to criticizes China and agrees with this administration for how they're going after China on the issue of intellectual property. And that's really what this is about here. We saw yesterday some market movement, particularly based on some lower stocks because of Silicon Valley. And I think what you're noticing now is the administration really trying to protect intellectual property, what the administration calls the quote-unquote crown jewels of the U.S. economy.
But if there are tougher export rules on new technologies like artificial intelligence and the like, that could be a drag on U.S. Companies as well, couldn't it?
It could, but I think that the basis of the argument is that they feel that China is really just stealing this technology, using it, and not able to get into really just stealing it. But that said, to your point, it would make it harder for some of these companies to make inroads in emerging markets. There's really this pushing against the Chinese for stealing U.S. intellectual property.
Yeah, and as we continue to see this pushing, how much more crucial does this make this encounter at the end of the month at the G20 summit between Presidents Trump and Xi?
Well, it's crucial, but I think that you've got this other deadline in January, specifically with regards to auto tariffs in particular, and that's in January. So it would appear that this is just, you know, maybe they would maybe be able to agree to the framework of the framework type of situation. It could do more harm than good, but you know, this is definitely by no means just a one-all meeting. This is just the first step in what will be a long, continuous process.
All right, let's move on to another story that's getting some attention in Washington. The report that President Trump's daughter, senior advisor Ivanka Trump, used personal email to discuss government business as she was transitioning from private life into the government. What do we know about this?
Well, the Washington Post reporting this exclusively last night. They're saying that during a period of time, she was using her personal email account. Now, her lawyer's spokesperson, so the spokesperson for the lawyer, released a statement saying that this was just during a contained period of time. There were no national security emails. But either way, I mean, she's facing a lot of criticism because of using this, obviously, with the Hillary Clinton email server issue. Now, she did not have her own server, but it's kind of remarkable that she would use her own email and, you know, is getting criticized for it this morning.
Yeah, some criticism, particularly when her father, President Trump, made such an issue of personal email use, not just the use of a personal email, but the server, as you mentioned, during the 2016 campaign.
Yes, absolutely. Now, she didn't have a server, but, you know, folks raising concerns about her use of the private email. She said in that statement that she was just using it to schedule meetings and whatnot for her family, and that she handed over all of the emails to the historical society or the record-keeping arm of the U.S. government.
Yeah, under the Federal Records Act. But I wonder if this raises questions for you and others who cover this White House when it comes to communication security.
Well, you know, it is a good point. I mean, any public official who's working in the government has to comply with these laws in order for open record keeping and for what's known as the, you know, when you submit a reporter's request to get these types of documents. And this really, you know, this raises questions about that. And we've seen this really run rampant in Republican and Democratic administrations where folks are using their personal email just sometimes by a matter of habit. At other times, it's a matter of choice.
Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, thanks as always. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report, and here's Bob Moon.
When President Donald Trump put most of the blame for California's recent wildfires on what he complained is the state's mismanagement of its forests, there was a lot he didn't say and some that he got wrong. In suggesting state officials need to do a much better job, he left out that most of California's 33 million acres of forests are under federal or private control, not the state's. Fire scientists say that Trump also neglects a larger effect from climate change in promoting abnormally dry conditions and dead trees, creating fuel for fire. And then there was this.
I was with the president of Finland, and he said, we have a much different, we're a forest nation. He called it a forest nation. And they spend a lot of time on raking and cleaning and doing things, and they don't have any problem. And when it is, it's a very small problem.
While President Sauli Niinisto said in a newspaper interview that he told Trump of Finland's good surveillance system and network in case of wildfires, he couldn't recall mentioning anything about raking. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And we continue to watch Target this morning. Shares down 6.7% in early trading after it posted quarterly sales and margins that disappointed Wall Street, adding pressure on the retailer as it heads into the critical holiday season. We also heard from Medtronic, second quarter profit beating analyst estimates, and we'll be watching shares of those companies throughout the day today. Straight ahead, it is Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.